Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and take them out and turn to the book of Galatians and chapter 5. Galatians and chapter 5. We started last week on the subject entitled, Nine Character Traits of God. Nine Character Traits of God. How many of you know that we are to be just like God? Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Tom Pickens of Antelope Valley Christian Center, and you are listening to The Word of Victory.
Nine character traits of God. And in order for us to be like God, then we have to be born of God. No one can be like God unless they are born of God. Amen. Now, we understand that all creation is like God in the sense that the Bible says that God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them, et cetera, et cetera. But then in order for you to be like God in character traits, you have to be born of the Spirit of God. Because you, God's Spirit, you know, will be your spirit, and your spirit will be God's Spirit, and the both of you will look alike, will act alike, will talk alike. You'll talk after God. You'll think after God. The way God thinks, you'll think. The way God talks, you'll talk. Isn't that right? So we want to look at nine character traits of God. And there in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and he goes on to give the works of the flesh, which I'm not going to mention those. I'm going to drop down to about verse 22. You can read those if you want to. My assignment is to emphasize the nine character traits of God. And in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And so these are the nine character traits of God. Now, I will tell you right off that the most important trait of all of these is love. Now, last week we talked about the different kinds of love. There are different kinds of love to be used for different situations. If I told my wife that I love her, and in the same breath I said I also love my motorcycle, amen, that ain't too cool, you know. But if I told my wife I loved her, and with affection, with my a deep sense of gratitude for her, that's a different kind of love. If I said, man, you know, I love playing golf, I don't use the same word to say that I love playing golf that I would say that I love my children. When I say I love my children, it is with storge love. It is with a love that connotes affection and caring and great comfort with them. I love them in that sense. I don't love golf like that. I love it. Golf is something that I like. I don't even love it. I like to play it. Amen. And so we have to understand that there are different qualities of love. We talked about these different qualities of love, different types of love the last time. And the first one we talked about was actually the very lowest form, and that is Eros love, E-R-O-S. And we said that that had to do with sexual intercourse. And after that, there's storge love, S-T-O-R-G-E. And storge love has to do with showing affection. And you have to be very careful with that, young men and young women, if you're not married, praise God, to begin having deep feelings for one another. And you have to be careful with that because it can get away from you. And then we talked about phileo love, P-H-I-L-E-O. Phileo love is Philadelphia love. It is friendship love. It is a platonic type love that every marriage couple, everybody, must have incorporated in their lives. It must be a part of their marriage. Phileo love means that you are friends, you do things with one another. a man and a lady that is married today, they first met each other. They started doing things for each other. They started being friends and just having a good time fellowship. And based on their feelings, they most likely discovered that there's something more than phileo love. There's storge love, because they start being affectionate towards each other. And so those are the different forms of love. And I just briefly went over those because I'm not going to spend time on the other three that I mentioned. But the one that I want to center on is agape love. The reason being is that the devil fights agape love the most, because it is where the power of God is expressed. It is in agape love. Everything that we do has to do with this. Everything that we do has to do with love. It's like water. Water runs through every area of our lives. Everything we use. In order to make clothes, you need water. In order to make shoes, water is used in every area of our lives. Water is like love. Love should flow through every strand of our lives. Amen. Every area of our lives, there isn't anything that we can do without love. There isn't anything that you can, this ring, you needed water in order to make it. Everything has water in it. And that's the same way with the agape love. It should have God's love in it. God's love is the greatest love. Agape love, A-G-A-P-E. Agape love is the greatest, is the highest form of love. Now, let me tell you something about agape love. Agape love does not depend on you. It depends, in other words, it does not depend on you to be loved. Agape love loves you whether you have anything to do with it or not. You see, agape love says that I love you, and it's an unconditional love. Unconditional love means that there isn't anything you can do. There isn't anything you can give me. There isn't anything on your part that you have to fulfill in order for me to love you. As a matter of fact, I can love you and it's got nothing to do with you. I can love you in spite of what you're saying, of what you're doing, or how you're acting. In spite of, you don't love me, I'm going to love you anyway. The reason being is that, see, there's a thing that's called individual responsibility. That it means that my actions are not dependent on someone else. God's going to hold me accountable as an individual for my actions. Come on now, somebody say amen. He's going to hold me as an individual responsible for my actions. So God tells us that we are to love one another. Agape love, it spends itself on those of whom it finds no affection, of whom it finds no reward. It spends itself regardless of anything in the object that is attractive about the object. How many of you know that there wasn't anything that was attractive about us when God sent Jesus to the cross? As a matter of fact, we were dead in our sins and trespasses. We had turned our backs on God. And the Bible says, and yet God still sent. Now that's agape love. It's difficult for us to see how that we can love like that, but he certainly gives it to us as a goal to reach, doesn't he? Doesn't he? So agape love, it is unconditional love. And that's the love that God wants us to express. It is God's love. God gives us that love. When we accept his son, Jesus Christ, that love is flooded. Our hearts, our spirits are flooded with the love of God. Now, I made a statement. I said that out of all these nine character traits, love is the most important one out of all of them. And I'll make a comparison to that. And I showed it to you last week. If you look at 1 Corinthians and chapter 12, chapter 13 and chapter 14, you will understand, if you read those three books, you will understand that the reason that the love chapter, which is chapter 13, is in between 12 and 14 is because emphasis and focus is being put on love. The chapter 13 has to do with love. It has to do with the motive by which we do whatever it is that we do. The motive by which we serve God should always be out of a motive of love. It should never be because there's something in it for me. It should never be that I'm going to get involved with this because I see something beneficial for me. It should always be out of a motive of love. How can I help somebody else? How can I extend myself to somebody else? What is my attitude towards whatever it is that I'm doing? So love has to be an integral part of it. So in verse 13, in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, he explains to them that you can have all the faith you want. You can have all the power of God. You can do all these things. God can use you to work all these miracles. But if you have not what? Not love, he says, then really it is of no benefit to you as an individual. Now listen, this is very important. Because when I read this, when I initially read it, it's like, well, how can these people do all of this if they don't have love? Listen, God's word will work. I said, God's word will work. If the individual, if the vessel that's ministering the word of God, if they've got some imperfections in them, if something is going on in their lives, but they're getting up and they're ministering the word of God, the faith of the people will draw upon the word of God and the people will be blessed, but the individual will have to stand before God. In other words, there is no personal benefit. He says in verse 1, look at this, verse 1 of chapter 13, verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Are we there? Paul says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love. Now he's talking about I'm not sharing, I'm not expressing the agape kind of love. Don't forget, he's writing this to a church of spirit-filled people. These are Christian people that he's writing this to. And he says, and have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith. He is saying, man, I can be used, you know, with the knowledge, word of wisdom, and, you know, faith. He says, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love. He says, I am what? I am nothing. And then he says in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. Didn't say that the people wouldn't get blessed. He said it profits me nothing because of my attitude. We have to have the right attitude when we're sharing the word of God with people. Because if I'm sharing the word of God with you from the pulpit and I've got something against you, then that's a glitch in me. Guess what? God's not going to not bless you. You're still going to get blessed. But guess what? It's not going to profit me anything. Why? Because it was not done out of a motive of love. He says, and then he describes this kind of love. He goes on to say in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profits me nothing. Verse 4, love suffers how long? Love suffers how long? This is agape love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love is not does not parade itself. In other words, it's not boastful. It does not puff up itself, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. In other words, what's in this for me? It does not provoke. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity or sin, but rejoices in the truth. Amen. It says, it bears all things, believes all things. Believe the best about your friend. When somebody says something about them and everybody is saying the same thing, you don't know it for a fact. It's just what you're saying. Most likely it's third and fourth, you know, information. Then why don't you believe the best? I'm willing to believe the best about you until you tell me differently. Praise God. Somebody come talking to me about something that so-and-so said and so-and-so heard, so-and-so said. I just keep going. I don't want to hear it. Because if you weren't there, how do you know? You really don't know. All you know is what somebody told you, and it's handed down about five times when it gets to you. So what am I going to do? I'm going to praise God, love like Jesus loved. Agape love bears all things. Agape love believes all things. And so I'm just going to believe, praise God. I'm going to believe that, no, that couldn't have been her. No, that couldn't have been him. No, I'm not going to believe that in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you with me this morning? This is the agape love. This is where the power of God is manifested in our lives. When we understand that love covers a multitude of sins. Amen. We begin to love our brother. And he talks about this agape love, not only expressed towards God, which we're going to look at in a minute, but he talks about it expressed towards one another. He goes on to say in verse 9, he says that, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when he, or that which is perfect, is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. And that's going into some other things there. So what we see is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we see that Paul is focusing on the agape love. And he's letting us know that our lives lived before God must incorporate the vital trait of agape love in every aspect. We must love like God loved, even our enemies. Isn't that interesting? We must love our enemies. How can I love my enemies? Well, you love them because God loves them. And you depend on the Holy Spirit to give you the ability to love them, even though you don't want to. Amen? Now, the agape love, we see God expressing that love toward his own son, Jesus Christ. First of all, in John in chapter 17, go ahead and turn there. This love, this agape love, it gives us actually the motive by which we should serve God. Agape love. It gives us the motive by which we should serve God. We should serve God with the agape love because he, the Bible says, we love God because he what? Because he first loved us. So it gives us the motive by which we should love God. It also describes the attitude of God toward his own son, Jesus Christ. God loves Jesus. John chapter 17 and verse 26. Jesus is speaking. And he says, and I have declared to them your name. Now Jesus is speaking and he's talking to the Father. He is saying, as a matter of fact, in verse 25, let's go back to verse 25. He says, oh, righteous Father. He's addressing his Father. Now, they had a profound love for one another. He's addressing his Father. He says, oh, Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. He says, these, he's referring to his 12 disciples. And these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, I am declaring you unto them. Now that should tell us something. And that's why I'm so excited. Because it has been renewed in my spirit, afresh and anew. The true meaning of the local church.
The Word of Victory has been brought to you by Antelope Valley Christian Center, which is pastored by Dr. Tom Pickens. Our morning worship services are held on Sundays at 8:30 and 11:30 a.m., with weekly services for children, teens, young adults, seniors, and men held throughout each week. We are located at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard in Lancaster. For more information about Antelope Valley Christian Center, call 661-949-7200 or visit us on the web at abccusa.org and on Facebook.